The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Greetings from RTP HQ. News and radio moments to come, of course. But first, some more developments from the One Horseman of the Apocalypse. That's what I'm calling John Myers. If you work at a radio station in the last couple of years, you have to keep a wary eye out for the man in the black suit, because he's the guy who hovers around outside the window and you think, oh, he's going to write a report and we're all going to be fired, especially if we're the management. He did it for BBC Network Radio. He did it for BBC Local Radio. Now he's been working on Manx Radio and his report is being sent to the Tynwald, which is the Manx Parliament, to be considered next week. We're going to talk to the MD of Manx Radio, Anthony Pugh. How are you?
I'm very well, Trevor. Good to hear from you.
Good. It's very nice to talk to you as well, Anthony. So, John Myers comes around. Is this good news or is this bad news?
It's brilliant news for Manx Radio. You know, I'm absolutely delighted that there's a real recognition of the value of Manx Radio in this report, both John's and in the Select Committee's report, and an acknowledgement that the station does do its job, actually, pretty well.
You're a veteran of the BBC. In fact, you and I used to work together there, did we not?
We did.
What's the difference between the way that Manx Radio is set up and funded and the way the BBC is funded? And is that going to change if these recommendations are passed?
It's a very good question you ask. If you come and ask me that question a few years ago, I'd have said we're set up exactly like the BBC. We're independent from government, but we get money from government. I mean, the BBC gets it through the licence fee. We get an annual subvention. But it's only when you really sort of dig down deeper and begin to understand the differences that you see why this whole report was written in the first instance. We get this subvention via Treasury. But over the last 4 or 5 years, just as every government everywhere has had to suffer, you know, financial problems, our subvention has gone down. We've had to lose staff, we've had to cut services. And you get to a stage where you say, look, I've got a public service licence. But because we're also a commercial station, you get to the point where you can't do the things that make you a public service station. You're almost on the verge of being a commercial broadcaster. And so as we were beginning to negotiate with Treasury, trying to ensure that we got our fair slice of the cake, we realised we were being far too close to Treasury. And the whole point of a public service broadcaster is this total independence from governments. And what this report begins to do is to take us that little bit further away. It's suggesting there's a recommendation there that the Council of Ministers put us in primary legislation to give Manx Radio a permanent existence and a status as the independent public service broadcaster of the Isle of Man. Now, that has to be good for the future. It also ties in that Treasury has to fund us for the whole term of the licence to an agreed formula. And for Manx Radio, they're suggesting that that is £850,000 plus an inflationary rise on an annual basis. And, of course, that gives you a footing where you can actually plan for the future.
Now, Anthony, you do have commercial opposition, don't you? As you were saying, you're partly commercially funded as well, but you've got commercial stations on the island. What do they sound like? And you know, for British listeners who are not necessarily familiar with the ecology of broadcasting on the Isle of Man, what do you sound like?
I'd say that we're a cross between Radio 2 and Radio 4. In that we do our equivalent of the Today programme for an hour every morning and a similar programme of shortened duration in the evening. Lots of public service programming from, you know, programmes about the countryside, political debate. We even cover the whole sittings of Tynwald and we broadcast those live on our AM frequency. 3FM is targeted at the over 30s and is a music-based station, probably akin to Radio 1.5-ish. And Energy is a station that targets the youth audience. But the interesting point is the Isle of Man has a population of 84,500 people. That's only a TSA of 74,000. And yet we have three radio stations, you know, and all three of those stations are commercial. So there is a real madness there in many ways, even though I do believe all three stations provide a very useful and a very good quality service.
One thing John is critical of in his report is the music you play. And, of course, it's always the biggest issue, isn't it? Because as a public service broadcaster, I guess like BBC local radio, it's tempting to define your music policy by what your competitors don't play rather than what you think you should. Have you got any feeling about how maybe you need to change what Radio 2 likes to call its music plot?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, when John actually talks about the music policy, he does compare us to sort of a manager of Manchester United, where there can be 77,000 people in the stand, each one being a fully qualified manager. But, you know, only one person could actually manage the team. And I guess the same is true of the music policy here. Our music policy is very akin to Radio 2. But you have to remember, whereas Radio 2 is targeted at a certain demographic, we targeting from cradle to grave. And that's why we have a radio reach well into the 50s. And, you know, over a month, that means a 73% of the population of the Isle of Man are actually listening to us. So, you know, John does say in his report that, as you said, he didn't believe our music policy was spot on. But at the same time, he said it might be churlish to actually argue that it wasn't right. We've had talk-ins on the station since this report has come out. And people have come on and said that they love the music policy that we incorporate. But our listeners would say that, wouldn't they?
Well,
it's just
I was
that we're lucky. And we've got a heck of a lot of them.
I was going to offer that observation. The thing I remember about my visit to Manx Radio, it's a long time ago now, was what a fantastic building it is. You know, for those who've not been there, there's a big bay which has Douglas in it, when you can see the roll and roll off ferries going in and out. And you're right up high on a cliff with this absolutely brilliant perspective. I do hope they're going to let you stay there.
Well, I'm pretty convinced they will. We've just spent about £750,000 refurbishing the studios and all the technical equipment here. We did have to look very carefully at whether or not we were going to stay in this location about 5 years ago before we started spending this money. And the consensus was that this was the most cost-effective route. However, the report does ask Treasury to have a look again. You know, there are some problems. When you transfer a radio station, your control room, which has all the sort of the one-off equipment which sort of communicates with the transmitters and all this sort of thing, you have to replicate that at a new venue. So there are huge built-in costs, and the current equipment, which has got a long lifespan, becomes redundant. There's also adjacent to us a police mast which covers all the Tetra police radios over Douglas Bay. That would have to be relocated. So there are some very significant costs in moving us from here.
Can I just move you on to one final thing, which obviously the news coverage and Radio Today itself has picked out as one of the chief recommendations of your Myers report. It is, of course, that there's too much management. This is a regular theme of John's work. Is he right?
There are four managers, which may seem high to a purely commercial radio station. But, you know, when I took this job, I expected to be the managing director of a radio station. I happen to be the managing director of a public service broadcaster. And that means, with us having around about £1 million of public money, the amount of consultation, the amount of paperwork that has to go hand in hand with taking that money is huge. I mean, there's a big responsibility on the station to be transparent and all the things that go with public service broadcasting. I guess time will tell. You know, it's very difficult for me at this stage to say whether or not I agree or disagree with it, because there'll be a whole debate in our parliament next Tuesday. As I said right at the outset, Trevor, the recommendations in this report have ultimately got to be good for Manx Radio. This year, we're celebrating 50 years as a broadcaster, the oldest commercial broadcaster in the British Isles. And if all these recommendations are actually accepted, we could well be here in another 50 years.
Well, I hope you are. We wish you very well, Anthony, and Mark and everybody else at Manx Radio. Thanks very much for talking to the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. If you've got any comments, let's have a word from our sponsor and then the rest of this week's news from Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Actually, Trevor, it's Stuart here. Roy's temporarily lost his voice. I think he was trying to compete with Peter Dixon at the Big Voices Radio Academy Northeast event this week. Anyway, on with the news. We have a new name in UK radio this week. His name is Bob. Jack FM Hertfordshire was replaced on Monday morning with Bob FM, totally unconnected with the Bob FM brand in the States. And you can hear how it launched at radiotoday.co.uk. Kay Burley has joined LBC to host Sunday Breakfast. The Sky News afternoon presenter will be joined by the Sun's managing editor, Stig Abel, for interviews and debate about politics, business, culture and entertainment. And Smooth Radio will regain local breakfast and drive time shows from the 24th of March. Andrew Castle, who was on LBC Weekend Breakfast, takes over breakfast in London on weekdays, replacing Simon Bates. And watch out for news in the coming days on radiotoday.co.uk to find out who'll be doing those regional shows around the UK. And that's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson, sitting in for Roy.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UKVoiceover.
You're connected to the Radio Today programme. Let's have some radio moments now with David Lloyd.
100 years of radio. Radio moments.
This week, 12 years ago, the launch of another BBC music service, and one which nearly didn't make it to adolescence.
This is Six Music
from the BBC.
Good morning, it's Monday, the 11th of March 2002, and you're listening to Six Music from the BBC. My name is Phil Jupitus. I'll be your host for the next year. How are you doing? As you probably know, we've been having something of a vote on the internet for the first record to be played on Six Music, and you're probably wondering, Phil, who's won?
The launch of Six Music this week in 2002, or Network Y, as it was called in the planning stages, that first breakfast show presented by Phil Jupitus. This next launch takes us back a touch further to 1976, when Radio Kennet, or Thames Valley Broadcasting, won the licence to broadcast to Reading. The on-air name was a bit of a challenge. The solution? Well, just use the AM wavelength.
Now pay attention. This is Captain Mannery. Very important exercise. There's a new wireless station called Thames Valley Broadcasting, and I want you all to listen.
Excuse me, sir. Can I play my records now?
Well, of course you can, stupid boy.
Hello and good morning, Thames Valley. This is Paul Hollingdale saying welcome to Radio 210. And on behalf of all of us here at our studios in Calcot, Reading, it's my pleasure to greet you on this, our first day of transmission, as local independent radio reaches everyone in the Reading and Thames Valley area.
We've only just begun.
Radio 210, launching in Reading 38 years ago, and the station stuck with that 210 branding for 33 years, long after it moved off 210 AM. A few of those early commercial radio stations used American jingles, even though it was more than frowned upon by the regulator, the IBA, and the Musicians' Union. The jingles were produced by the most famous jingle company of all, and that company began this week in 1951.
PMS, Thames of Dallas.
We had our own studio beginning in 1958. With egg crates and everything else, it was purely a cut and saw method. You'd try one thing and that was wrong, and then you'd try something else. We were trying phasing, then we'd put two microphones in front of the vocal group, face them toward one another. This was the only way we could get the equalization we were after on a vocal group. And it was always a hit-and-miss affair. We'd mark their feet on the floor to make sure they stood in the same places. We kept trying everything in the world, and we kept improving.
Bill Meeks, the founder of PAMS, which began business 63 years ago this week. It's 15 years since we lost Adrian Love, known from Capital and Radio 1. He was also the son of the musician Jeff Love. His radio career, like so many, had begun at the United Biscuits Network.
It's sound number 5 on a Friday morning, a former Round Sound pop prediction. A beautiful choice, Lindisfarne, and Meet Me on the Corner.
Adrian Love, good morning.
4 minutes past 6 o'clock on UBN. The funny rattling noise of the buttons on my Levi jacket, which I'll have to take off, because it keeps going.
Farewell, Adrian Love, this week in 1999. Amidst BRMB's 40th anniversary celebrations, it's interesting to note that it's now 25 years this week that Les Ross left the BRMB breakfast show, and that was ready to move to its new AM service, Extra AM. He was, of course, later to return.
But anyway, I popped over the road and I voted Liberal. I voted Liberal because I liked the look of Jeremy Thorpe.
This week, 2 years ago, a new chapter in the history of Broadcasting House in London. The BBC made the first broadcast from its new news centre, with a transmission by the Burmese section of the World Service as it moved from Bush House. The first transmission from that new building featured a live phone-in. This same week, but back in 1932, the very first broadcast had been made from the old Broadcasting House in London, thanks to Henry Hall and his dance orchestra.
Here's to the next time and a merry meeting.
This week, in 1978, Capital Radio paid its first dividend as profits rose to £1.8 million. And it's 12 years this week since Richard Park resigned from Capital to spend more time on the artistic side of the business.
Let's just rattle down the card for tomorrow afternoon. Some predictions, please, Hugh. Aberdeen against St Mirren. Well, it's horses for courses with Alex.
Richard Park, and this week also sees Richard's 66th birthday. Happy birthday, Headmaster. This week in 1978, the first episode of a radio series which was to become a book, a TV series and a film.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has much to say on the subject of time travel and its part in the unhallowed fate of the Cathedral of Chalism. It has, however, very little to say about the abduction of people by the remote reprogramming of teleportation coordinates.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, beginning on Radio 4 this week, 36 years ago. Moyles broke the record for the longest show on radio, but maybe less well-known is the chap who broke that same record in 1999.
I sort of hit a very nasty wall at about 3 o'clock in the morning,
and
it sort of got worse from there.
Oh, right.
Have you ever stayed up for 37 hours?
I don't think I have, no, I'm far too sensible.
Well, I've just tried everything that people have sent to me, you know, whether it be chocolate or a bit of bread or a bit of tea, a bit of coffee. I've tried everything.
Simon Mayo hosting the longest ever show, as it was this week, 15 years ago. So with Team Talk launching this week 12 years ago, Michael Parkinson hosting his last Desert Island Discs 26 years ago.
Our castaway is a sporting hero.
The last DLT show on Classic Gold 12 years ago.
9:21 on Classic Gold.
And Chris Evans selling Ginger to SMG for £225 million 14 years ago.
You know, I had the keys to the sweet shop and I was eating all the sweets.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Anthony Pugh at Manx Radio. Good luck with the tin walled. This has been the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan, and we'll have something very similar next week with the added ingredient, a little Bob.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.